Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, January 13th, 2015, and it's a beautiful sunny day here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about cell phones. We've talked about cell phones before, but we can't talk about cell phones too much because there's so much to know about them and they can be so dangerous. And most people don't know what the dangers are or how we can protect ourselves from them. So today my guest is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD. And she is the author of a book called Disconnect, The Truth Behind Cell Phone Radiation and Your Health, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and What You Can Do to Protect Your Family. It was published in the United States and in the United Kingdom and has been released in Australia, India, Turkey, Taiwan, Finland, Estonia, China, and as a book on tape. And she, in addition, serves as the president of the Environmental Health Trust, which is a nonprofit devoted to researching and controlling avoidable environmental health threats through education and policy changes. She has been on CNN, C-SPAN, CBC, the BBC, public radio, and she's just been around doing a lot for a very long time. Her research has appeared in major scientific journals, so she knows what she's talking about on this subject, and I'm very happy to have her on the show. Hi, Dr. Davis.
Well, hi, Deborah. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. So, you know so much, I don't even know where to begin to ask you questions on this subject. Why don't you just go ahead and start telling us about what you think are the most important things that the public needs to know about cell phones?
Well, picking up on your own work, I would say this. As you know, you've spent a career identifying toxic hazards in consumer
yes.
products and the world in general. And I think one of the most important things for people to realize who are concerned about toxics is this. Cell phone radiation weakens cell membranes. This means that any toxic material that is already in your body can be more deeply absorbed into your cells with exposure to cell phone radiation. Now, this fact is being used now in medicine to enhance the uptake of drugs for the treatment of cancer as well as for other syndromes. So to me, it is absolutely puzzling that there is this disconnect in our understanding of the basic science of what is going on and the way that we treat other toxic hazards. I've been disappointed at the failure of this issue to take off, but I think I understand it now better. 5 years ago when I wrote the book Disconnect, the world was simply not ready to think about the fact that there might be a dark side to this technology. Nowadays, we all know families who sit at the dinner table without talking, everyone
yes.
glued to their devices.
Yes.
We all know young people with whom you cannot have full conversation because they will interrupt themselves by looking at their screen for something that suddenly occurs to them as more important than finishing their own sentence.
Yes.
And there's been a growing recognition that these devices, while very valuable, also need to be reined in the ways that we use them and rely on them. So Environmental Health Trust, the nonprofit that I started when I was at the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, is now my full-time gig. And what mm-hmm. we are doing is taking the latest scientific information and making it available to the public so that they can make some sense of this very confusing situation where we simply are lacking information about the basics of cell phones. So let me take a second and tell you something.
Okay.
A cell phone is a two-way microwave radio. It sends and receives microwave radiation. Now, microwave ovens use 1,000 watts of power. A cell phone uses less than 1 watt of power. And when it was first approved by the FDA in the early 1990s, it was assumed that because cell phone radiation was so weak, it would have no biological effect.
Mm-hmm.
Research today tells us that that's not true.
Yes.
Cell phones are weak, but they use the same frequency as the microwave oven, about 2 billion cycles a second, between 900 million to 2 billion cycles a second. And that frequency can have biological effects because it is not a steady frequency from a phone, but a pulsed one, kind of like this. And that erratic, irregular, pulsed digital signal is what we believe causes biological consequences. It weakens membranes, as I said, but it can also cause damage to DNA, not by directly breaking the ionic bonds, like X-rays, which is ionizing radiation, but as a non-ionizing form of radiation. It can disrupt cells and their ability to communicate. It can cause heat shock proteins and increase the formation of free radicals, which we know are damaging to living material.
There's so much. Wow. You know, there's so much to know, and so few people know things. I was actually talking to somebody the other night, somebody that I just met, and he was surprised that I wasn't carrying my cell phone. And I said, because of so many people that I meet, they don't even have a landline anymore. The cell phone is the only phone that they have. And so this was a fairly intelligent guy. He has a law degree, in fact. And he had no idea that there was any health consequences of using a cell phone. And before I started explaining to him the health effects of this, he was kind of teasing me, like, you mean you're not somebody that thinks that they have to be reachable every minute of the day? And I reminded him that when I was a child, we didn't even have answering machines on our telephones.
Huh?
And I can remember the day that if you wanted to get a phone call, you had to actually be there in the house and answer the phone. And that was the only way that somebody could reach you. And no message machines, no cell phones, nothing. And people communicated just fine. And I don't see that it's a good trade-off for us to risk our lives and our health and our well-being just so that we can be instantly available at every moment.
I certainly agree. And it's let's just talk about what we know about health right now.
Okay.
We know that the World Health Organization in 2011 released a report that at that time reviewed all the experimental and human studies on cell phones and other wireless radiation. And they concluded in 2011 that cell phone radiation was a, quote, possible human carcinogen, the same category as DDT, lead, and some forms of engine exhaust. Now, you do not let children play with DDT, lead, or engine exhaust. And yet, our schools now are moving ahead to install wireless throughout with no recognition of the fact that there are long-term consequences of this. Now, the WHO made that determination with the International Agency for Research on Cancer in 2011. This past year, a group of colleagues and I reviewed new evidence, including new studies of humans using cell phones for 20 years or more, and we have concluded, working with some of the world's top epidemiologists who are advisors to the World Health Organization, that cell phone and other wireless radiation is a probable human carcinogen using the criteria of the International Agency for Research on Cancer. I think that's really important for your listeners to understand. The evidence on the biological effects of cell phone radiation has become stronger since my book was first written. And one of the things I would appreciate getting feedback from you on and from your listeners is whether I should provide a new edition of the book that provides the new evidence. Because at this point, what I wrote in 2010 was somewhat speculative. What I have written now is less so, because we've got the bodies of evidence. We've got the proof. We've got, unfortunately, growing numbers of people with brain cancer, as well as people with hearing loss and serious problems of sleep, which we can associate with their long-term use of cell phones.
We need to go to break, but we're going to talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD. She's the president of Environmental Health Trust, and their website is ehtrust.org. We're talking about how cell phones can harm your health, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD, president of Environmental Health Trust, and their website is ehtrust.org, where there's a lot of information about what we're talking about here today. I just want to, before we talk about anything else, I just want to repeat what you said right at the beginning of the show about how cell phones are damaging to cells in your body, and therefore it allows the toxic chemicals to... Say what you said again.
Cell phones weaken membranes.
Yes.
They may interfere with something as essential as calcium. And, of course, calcium governs the ways that membranes open and close. Voltage-gated mm-hmm. Communication within and between cells and membranes. That capacity of cell phone radiation to affect membranes is being used in medicine today to develop new treatments for cancer. It makes no sense to then assume that the only impact of such radiation is beneficial. It is beneficial in the treatment of cancer. It is being used in approved medical devices that have been developed in a number of countries. So I find it amazing that we fail to take this into account in the ways that we have been testing, evaluating, and using cell phones and tablets and other wireless devices. A tablet today has many different antennas on it and is tested at 20 centimeters away from the body, a standard test protocol. You don't hold a tablet right next to your head, but increasingly tablets are being used as phones and communication devices, and they are being held directly on the bodies of young children. They are called tablets because they belong on tables. They do not belong on the lap, and they certainly don't belong on the body of a small child. No. Now, the good news, as you know very well, and you've written about this, is that if you eat your vegetables, you repair DNA damage. And I don't mean to oversimplify it, but in fact... Studies have been done with cell phone radiation where you first expose cells to melatonin or polyphenol or other, which is from green tea, and you can reduce the damage by these exposures. This suggests to us that there are ways that you can repair damage that may have happened, which is why no matter how you've been using your cell phone until this moment, take it out of your pocket, get it off your body, and eat your vegetables. And, of course, sleep in the dark, because when you sleep in the dark, your body produces melatonin. And melatonin is what we need to repair damage. That is why in your bedroom you should unplug. There should be no blinking blue lights or any other lights at night. You need to sleep in total darkness. And if your environment doesn't allow that, then get a sleep mask, because when you are in darkness, the body naturally produces melatonin, and melatonin is a natural antioxidant. It affects almost every cell of the body, and it helps us to repair whatever damage may have taken place. Now, if your listeners are surprised to hear my concerns, I'd like to let you know that we have a website we've recently launched called showusthefineprint.com. And that site combines all of the advice that manufacturers currently provide about how to use their devices. Those of your listeners who have a cell phone right now, an iPhone, will find that iPhone has made it easy for you. If you go to your iPhone settings and open that up,
actually, I could go there right now.
Go to your iPhone settings and go to settings and then go to general, which is just about midway down the screen. Click on general And then you click on About, which is at the top of the screen.
Settings. I'm on Settings now.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to General.
And then go to About, which is at the top.
Yeah.
Now scroll all the way down to something you would not normally even notice, called Legal.
I got it.
And then click on Legal. And then you will get to RF Exposure. And there you have it. In the paragraph above the hypertext link, it tells you to reduce exposure to RF. Perhaps you can read it.
No, actually, I can't read it, and I have my magnifying glasses on. And it, you know how on Apple devices you can, excuse me, you can make the type bigger. You can, you know, just open the window and it makes it bigger. This page will not do that.
That's right.
So
you cannot
I can't make it bigger.
You cannot make it larger, and you cannot copy it. But here's what it tells you. It says to reduce exposure to RF radiation, use a hands-free device or the headset that came with the device and keep the phone at least 10 millimeters away from the body to avoid exceeding the as-tested exposure guideline.
Okay, so how far is 10 millimeters?
Well, it means you can't keep the phone in your pocket.
Right.
Okay, 10 millimeters is, you know, perhaps it's smaller than your thumb joint. But the fact of the matter is you can't keep phones in your pocket of your pants or your shirt without exceeding the as-tested exposure guidelines. And this advice is buried in the phone. And that's why our group, Environmental Health Trust, is working with others to make this information more broadly known. I hope you'll be able to provide links from your site as well to
ours. I certainly will.
And we have showusthefineprint.com, which puts together in one place all of the advice on many of the smartphones today. We've also got thebabysafeproject.org, which is started by over 100 physicians, obstetricians, gynecologists, pediatric neurologists, all of whom share the concerns about protecting the young developing brain. We are well aware that in the first year of life, the brain more than doubles in a child. And throughout pregnancy, the brain, of course, grows rapidly. It starts as just a few cells concentrated at the top of a neural tube and ends up becoming this amazing thing, the brain of a baby.
I need to interrupt you because we need to go to break because I want to hear everything that you want to say. I want to give you plenty of time, and I don't want to interrupt you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD. She's the president of Environmental Health Trust, which is ehtrust.org, and we've also been going to Show Us the Fine Print. com, babysafeproject.org, and when we come back, she's going to tell us about babies and cell phones. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Gadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis. We're talking about cell phones and all kinds of ways they are harmful to our health. And just before the break, we were talking about how they affect the development of the baby's brain in pregnant women. So can you tell us more about that?
Yes. The head of obstetrics and gynecology at Yale University is Hugh Taylor, an MD, PhD. And 2 years ago, he produced a study where he had exposed mice prenatally to cell phone radiation. And he used a silenced and muted phone that was simply at the cage of the animals. So the exposure was rather weak, but it was throughout the entire period of pregnancy of mice. And he found that when the mice were born, the mice that had been exposed prenatally had hyperactivity syndrome as measured by a standard test that they use for measuring behavior in mice. Other studies from Turkey have shown damage to the brains of rodents that are exposed prenatally to cell phone radiation. Based on these different studies, Dr. Taylor and a group of over 100 other experts in pregnancy and reproductive health formed the Baby Safe Project. That's babysafeproject.org. On that project, on that site, you can find materials that are being handed out by clinicians around the world today. I spent a month in India. The Indian Academy of Pediatrics and the Indian obstetricians and gynecologists are also handing out these materials because we want pregnant women to know they must protect the abdomen, especially toward the end of pregnancy when the baby's head is close to the surface. Cell phone radiation doesn't get very far into the body, but it does get in at least an inch or more. And the more fluid, the more it can absorb, which is why children have to be especially protected. Their skulls are thinner. Their brains contain more fluid. They will absorb more radiation. The Baby Safe Project has information for clinicians as well as for patients. And every one of the 4,500 women who goes into Yale University Center to have a baby gets this information now. It is available at babysafeproject.org as well as under our free downloads at environmentalhealthtrust.org. And our website is loaded with information that you can download and share with others under the section of white on our homepage called Downloads. And our doctor's pamphlet is a two-sided thing that can be printed out and given away. And we certainly want to encourage your listeners to go to our site, to sign up for our newsletter, to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, all those things.
All those things. But more importantly, to share this information with young parents, with people who have young children, so that they will understand that the American Academy of Pediatrics is advising no screen time for children under the age of 2. They will be aware that there's simple things they can do now to practice safe technology, and that we have the right to reclaim our lives back. There is nowhere written that you've all got to be on emergency standby 24/7.
No. I mean, it's just no. We're human beings. We're not machines, and we're not electronic devices. And there are other ways to communicate besides phones. I remember many years ago when I used to live in California, I lived out in a rural community, and I belonged to an environmental group. And so this was back in the days where I remember at the same time I was trying to figure out how to send via modem a magazine article to a magazine publisher. And he was trying to talk me through it on the phone. But the point was that we could have communicated electronically. I think that we had email at that time. But one of the women said, but there wouldn't be any chocolate cake. And after that, we all referred to this as a chocolate cake factor, which was meeting face-to-face and having human connection. And I think that that's so important. I was thinking the other day about how many people I know because of my professional activities and people who have become my friends from the work that I do that I have never met face-to-face. And I know them because I email them or talk to them on the phone or Skype them or whatever. And that's good in one sense that you have exposure to many more people. But it's a different quality of relationship when you're actually sitting down together, human being
to human
being.
That's certainly true. That's certainly true.
Yeah. Yes. And it's not the same.
I think in a way the anonymity of the internet friends that we all have can also contribute to an increase in violence because it's not a real person that you're acting out against. It's just this abstract entity. Imagine all of these kids sitting there playing video games for hours at a time who can easily make the transition to becoming jihadists. And it seems to me that there must be a relationship. This internet is being used to recruit these poor, insulated and disaffected young people. And whereas in the past they might have gone out, gotten in trouble in the local neighborhood, now they can get themselves on a plane and end up participating in horrendous activities of violence. And I think that in a way the digital world has allowed for an anonymity and a disconnect from basic human feelings and exchanges. Now, that is why, by the way, in South Korea, neuropsychiatrists there have come up with a new syndrome that they have confirmed with MRIs in middle school children. They call it digital dementia. And what they refer to is a lack of development of the right hemisphere, a lack of the ability to develop empathy, to look one in the eye, to understand the consequences of another. And it's so severe that they have actually come up with treatments for this, which involve a kind of digital detox. And as you may be aware, digital detox is not just a phrase you can find. There are actually programs around the world now to allow people to disconnect and reconnect. People become so accustomed to the 24/7 world that they forget to take time to play music, listen to music, go outside, you know, all the things in the world we know we need to do to stay healthy, exercise and things of that sort get short shrift because people are chained to their screens.
Yes, yes. I feel so fortunate that I'm old enough that I knew what the world was like before we had all of this. And we need to go to break, but we'll be back and talk about this more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD. She's the president of Environmental Health Trust. The website is ehtrust.org, and from there, I'm sure you can get to all the other activities that she's doing. She's really, really taking a stand on cell phones and digital devices that I think is very much needed. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Dr. Deborah Lee Davis, MPH, PhD of Environmental Health Trust. And the website there is ehtrust.org. Dr. Davis, so we're in our last 10 minutes here of the show. So I want to make sure that you tell us about some things that we can do to use these devices more safely. Or do you think that we should just eliminate the whole system entirely?
Oh, no. We've got to be smarter than our phones and our tablets and our...
I like that.
Baby
smarter than our phones. Yeah.
Right. And this means that we've got to control the technology and not let the technology control us.
Yes.
And our website has lots of information. And Facebook, we have an ongoing discussion about things that can be done. We're specifically concerned about young women keeping cell phones in their bras because, as we just saw in the earlier segment, manufacturers advise that you not keep a phone directly next to the body, but people are not aware of this. That's why we set up showusthefineprint.com. That site puts together all of the advice now found buried inside phones. We have YouTube materials that people can look at, and we have a campaign underway right now to model exposures so that people understand that a laptop, they no longer call them laptop, doesn't belong on the lap but on a table. The reason they call them tablets nowadays is that's where they belong. And we want to encourage people to understand that if you must carry a phone on your body, put it on airplane mode or turn it off. And that way you will not be getting exposed to the microwave radiation. Men should be aware that those who keep phones in their pockets are exceeding the as-tested exposure guidelines and reducing their sperm count. This is not a good idea for lots of reasons. It's not a good form of birth control, but it also has other, you know, adverse effects that we need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
We have a program for the schools now that you can find on our website.
We're working with teachers and parents
around the country to promote awareness of that schools should be wired and not wireless.
Yes.
And the reasons for this have to do with expense, but also have to do with safety. And the long-term effects of children growing up in a sea of radio frequency radiation that did not even exist 5 years ago is not something anyone can tell us about. We simply are flying blind when it comes to this technology. And as I indicated in the earlier segment, we want the 21st century classroom to go beyond the digital divide so that all children have access to technology, but there's no reason that this should be wireless.
Right.
We want to encourage awareness that there are solutions, that there are low-tech best practices that allow schools to use wired Internet connections, and that we are developing materials on our website on schools, wireless, and health, where there's preliminary information that you can share with your teachers and students, and a longer document that also tells you best practices that can be implemented of what parents need to know about safe technology. The American Academy of Pediatrics, as I indicated earlier, recommends no screen time at all for children under the age of 2. We are seeking support now to expand this message nationally and internationally. And so I would certainly appreciate your listeners making a donation to Environmental Health Trust so that we can expand our ability to provide this information to teachers and parents around the world. In general, the tips for schools are to hardwire all devices that are connected to the Internet, such as computers and tablets, and to, if you must use a wireless device, download to it and then put it on airplane mode when children are using it, so that this becomes a routine policy in schools. And, of course, we can provide briefing materials. We have resources for families and staff on safe technology and tips for how to practice safe tech, including little cards that can be handed out. They involve keeping it on airplane mode as much as possible with Wi-Fi off, and, of course, a practice-safe phone. That means using a speakerphone or a headset, preferably a AirTube headset, and not letting children use mobile phones except in an emergency. Of course, driving is a huge risk factor, and
right.
Mobile devices distract drivers even if they're hands-free. So please limit your calls to circumstances where you are not in a high traffic situation. Remember that distance is your friend, and that if you can keep these devices out of your bedroom and away from young children, you'll be better off, and so will they. And as you know, we need to sleep in the dark.
Yes.
In order to make melatonin, in order to repair damage that may have occurred as a result of living. And promoting awareness of these things is what Environmental Health Trust is doing. I'm delighted to be able to talk with you after all these years. I've followed your work for quite some time. I think it's wonderful to see you moving into this area as well, and I look forward to working with you to see that we all do a better job of getting the information out. These devices have revolutionized our world. Business,
yes,
and our ability to respond to emergencies is totally transformed. And you're right, there's a whole generation growing up that will never know what it was like previously.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we've got to claim back our private time. We've got to give our children more opportunities to get their feet wet and dirty with the grass and sand. And
I
not
totally agree.
Spend their lives in front of screens. And families have the right to demand no devices at the dinner table, and parents should absolutely take devices away from children at night. It disrupts their sleep, no matter what they're telling you. It's not a good idea to have any bright lights, any blue lights in the bedroom.
You know, I so agree with you about this, because I know that even without all of these devices, it's difficult enough to get people out of the house, out into nature, so that people can experience the whole of life that we're all interconnected with. And with all these devices on top of it, then people are so absorbed in all this electronics, and it's like the reality of life becomes what they see on the screen instead of the actual reality of life that's right in front of you.
Yes.
And I have a big concern about that. It's just, you
right.
know, we have to know that we're connected to the natural world.
Right.
That's part of our basic survival, and so many people
right.
don't know that.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry, I was in one of the most beautiful places in the world in South India, in Kerala, taking a boat ride. And there were other tourists with me from Asia, family with young children. And they were holding their device up to themselves and the experience, photographing it, videoing it, rather than experiencing it.
Yes, I see this all the time.
It was just on Jenny Lake in Jackson Hole, you'll see people videoing the boat ride, but not experiencing it. It's a strange thing. And I'm wondering, when are people going to, they're going to spend their time watching the video rather than being where they are at the moment?
Yeah.
And it's happening all over the world.
Yeah. Well, we only have just a couple minutes left, so I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And I, too, I've been following your work for many years, too. And I'm so happy that we finally met, even though we were meeting over a digital device. And I very much look forward to working with you in the future to make this more known, because it's just, you know, people have talked to me in the past about the connection between electromagnetic fields and toxic exposures, and how the electromagnetic fields can increase the toxicity of the toxic chemicals that we're being exposed to. But I never quite understood how it fit together. So I'm so glad that you explained that. And I will probably have more questions for you about that, because I think that that's an integral part of people protecting themselves from toxics, is to also protect themselves from the electromagnetic fields.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And hopefully we're thinking about doing another edition of Disconnect, because it's 5 years now and there's so much more science that's come out.
Yeah.
And I will certainly be in touch with you when we reach that decision. And I would welcome any of your listeners who have an opinion to let us know what they think we should do. It's a tough sell, because we are all so attracted and have become so dependent on these devices. And I'm not anti-technology. I'm just pro-health. And I think we need to understand technology better, so that we can be more responsible in the way we use it for ourselves and our children.
Just like we need to understand toxics better, for exactly the same reason. You know,
right.
I don't think that we're going to end up with a world that's 100% no toxic chemicals, but we need to understand how to use them and understand how to use this technology. And I love that you talked about doing it smartly, us being smart over our phones, because that's the thing, is to use these things as a tool for life rather than letting them make us sick and not be able to think clearly, et cetera. Anyway, we have to go, because the music's going to come on in just a few seconds. But again, thank you so much.
Thank you. And please have your listeners look at our website, ehtrust.org, and sign up for our newsletter and let us know what we can do to get the word out more with you.
Great. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Jeffrey Lynn Cadfield.